Today on the Authoracast, we're getting back to our roots, talking about what's happening at GWCC with one of our first conventions of the year here in 2025, Dallas Safari Club Convention and Sporting Expo. How we doing, everybody, and welcome to the Authoracast. My name is Austin Simmons, and I'll be your host for this podcast, talking about all things Georgia World Congress Center Authority. If you've listened before, thanks for sticking around with us. If you're new to the show, welcome. Last time around on the previous season, we took you on what we'll call an audio journey of the new Signia by Hilton Atlanta Hotel, and that hotel is nearing its one-year mark this month. But this year, we're heading back to our roots and talking all things GWCCA. We're going to speak to folks who make this place run ever so smoothly, people around town who bring these world-class events into Atlanta and GWCC specifically, and we're going to hear from our customers about all the cool things they're doing with their events here in the city and the state. So whether you're a meeting professional or planner, you're on your way to an event and want to hear about it before you get here, you just left an event and there was so much going on you couldn't make it to everything and you want to catch up, or you live in the neighborhood and wonder why so many people were here last week or how it all comes together, I'll have you covered. Starting things off this year, we're talking Dallas Safari Club Convention and Sporting Expo 2025. One of the biggest conservation fundraising events in the United States. This is their first time with us here at GWCC, and you may guess where it usually takes place every January. That would be in Dallas, but some circumstances out of DSC's control forced them to find a new home for a few years, and luckily they chose the Georgia World Congress Center and Atlanta for their temporary home away from home. We're really excited to have them here this week, and last week, as the organizers were getting into town, I had a chance to sit down with Chris Harris, who is the convention events manager for Dallas Safari Club, to find out what they're all about, what you can expect if you're new to this convention and you're checking them out or thinking about it, and why they chose Atlanta. Well, yeah, thanks for joining me, Chris, just for a few minutes now that you're here in town to talk a little bit about Dallas Safari Club.
Well, I appreciate it, Austin. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Just first off, can you tell me a little bit about Dallas Safari Club? You know, from a quick Google search, you can kind of tell that it's a little bit more than just folks who either like hunting, fishing, or the outdoors or something like that. So what's the gathering all about, and what does the convention center look like whenever y'all kind of come in and take over the space?
So, the DSC... it's an international conservation organization, and we support conservation needs and projects around the world. We work closely with state agencies and national governments and other organizations to meet conservation needs and challenges. The annual convention really serves as the gathering place for many of these people. And it also serves as the primary fundraiser for the Dallas Safari Club. There are hunters, there are outdoor enthusiasts, there are individuals that are into photo tourism, there are individuals that are into just the vacationing lifestyle and globetrotting and seeing the world in different aspects than just, where they may live here in the States or somewhere else. We're a hunter-funded nonprofit conservation organization. We're committing to ensuring the future of wildlife in wild places. And, it represents the hunting community, the fishing community, and the outdoor community, and we're a very family-friendly show. And what that looks like when we're here is probably one of the most exotic, amazing, and exciting show floors I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot because I've done over 20 years in the trade show and convention space as a profession. And I've seen a lot of hunting shows just on a personal level. In my career as a trade show professional, but my passion is the outdoors and spending time with my boys and my family and my friends. And I've seen things on our show floor, when you ask me what it looks like, absolutely blow my mind that I didn't realize as an animal species even existed on the face of the planet. And they're the most beautiful and the exotic taxidermy I've ever seen, or replicas. Our show floor has everything from amazing sculptures and artwork and oil paintings and watercolors of the most exotic, far out lands and countries, and the people and communities in those places, and the animals in those places, fine jewelry, firearms, the finest crafted firearms made by gunsmiths that just hand tool every centimeter of a rifle. And you can get everything from a new pair of hunting socks, and you can even buy your own helicopter on our show floor, right? A new dining room table, every leather good you can possibly imagine. If you're an outdoorsman or woman, an outdoor enthusiast, the possibilities are endless at what you can see and what you can buy.
And so, I mean, it sounds like it's kind of, I mean, it could even be a little bit of a learning experience, right? With all the different things you mentioned, you know, maybe you're coming because you're a hunter, but then you can learn about different communities all across the world. That's pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, obviously Dallas is in the name, but, you know, I'm guessing with about 40,000 or so people that there's people coming in from all over the world. I mean, just who all's coming? Who all's here?
Well, 41 countries around the globe are represented. So we are truly a global show. For 42 years, they've been traveling to Dallas, right, and passing through Atlanta and other international airports, you know, as part of their leg. But, you know, yes, we're based in Dallas, but we have our conservation roots that span the globe. Working with governments and communities, you know, we fund, you know, the needed projects and advance, you know, the science. Science, really, regulations, you know, science-based hunting regulations and ground projects. And those projects, you know, they span from, supporting here locally in the state, Georgia's DNR and their Wildlife Weekend, to providing, you know, reliable resources, water resources around the globe. And that affects, you know, arid, dry areas in the West, even to anti-poaching team support. And all of those individuals, those government agencies, and our education efforts, partnerships with folks like Conservation Force, all those groups and organizations use DSC as their gathering place every year. Those that are coming, sure, they may be your neighbor next door. There are global representation. There are, you know, government officials, state, federal, international game agencies, and the ambassadors of different countries that come to represent their wildlife and conservation efforts.
Very cool. I imagine with that many folks coming in from all over the place. I mean, just what goes into putting on a show like this or a convention like this?
Oh, well, it's almost like in the trade show space, like what doesn't go into it, right? But it, well, this contracting, right? I think I mentioned just in passing before we even began, this process started in April of 2023. And seeking a home for 5 years for the DSC Convention and Sporting Expo. After a search of 42 locations across the country, it ultimately came down to the Georgia World Congress Center. So there's lots of negotiations and conversations about that and what the city of Atlanta could do for us. So what goes into it is a lot of contract research and negotiation on the front end with the city, the Georgia World Congress Center, the hotels, not just the connected with the, you know, the Signia by Hilton Hotel, the new property, the first ground up hotel in 40 years, which is absolutely beautiful, but also the Omni Atlanta at Centennial Park, another amazing property with a great staff. So it's negotiating with those organizations. It's pulling together all of your vendors and forming new vendor contracts and everything from your busing to security, transportation, all the registration, getting badges and banquet tickets for people to experience our evening banquets where we raise millions of dollars for conservation efforts. It's you know, those hotel rooms that you've got to get them into, all the banquet and BEOs and the menus and all the play settings for all these VIPs, special guests that come in. We have an entire auctions team that dedicates their entire year to working with our vendor partners, and it could be artists, sculptors, jewelers, gun makers, manufacturers, professional hunting guides. They're all our exhibitor partners, and they donate their time, their efforts. It may be a photo tourism piece, right? An opportunity to go to Argentina for something. Like it could be a cast and blast, or just, you know, a vacation for 10 of your closest friends and family to go and relax in some remote location that you've never seen before and never even pick up a rifle or a fishing pole. It might be just photography, right? So the auctions team has to negotiate and work with all of those vendors that want to donate hunts. Then they work with an auction, an online bidder, and a live auction auctioneers to run our full auction, right? Our exhibits managers with all the decorators on the decorator floor. You know, it's everything from the parking garage and the main streets with the Atlanta PD through the entire facility, the George Will Congress Center, to the back docks, to the recycling bins, and beyond. I know that's a long way of saying it, but it's not directly, you know, to the point, but
yeah, no, that's a great way to kind of put into it, because I mean, people show up and they may just see, hey, this is really cool, you know, but whenever you actually see everything that goes into it, and especially for some of the things that you're doing, like you mentioned, fundraising, for conservation, education, I mean, just where all does that touch? You know, because I mean, I'm sure it's got a worldwide reach. What are some of the things that the fundraising for conservation and education are kind of going to that y'all are yeah, helping out around the world?
Yeah, DSC, you know, is meeting the needs, and we're meeting them where they're most needed. You know, a few examples include helping elephant management plans, providing the needed equipment and training for hippo surveys to better understand the species and its disposition and the abundance. It goes towards wild sheep disease and restoration projects, working on, you know, policies and matters in Washington, D.C., and you know, working in the international space as well to ensure that the wildlife, wildlife and their species are managed, you know, based on science and not emotion or public sentiments. You know, we have many grants that are funded, right? So our convention, like I said, is really our largest fundraiser, right? And the money that is made gets turned into grants and funded. We also have the Frontline Foundation. We support the Frontline Foundation, and that goes towards individuals and professional hunters and their families that may be wounded or killed in the line of duty, or conservation officers around the globe and in Africa. It's unfortunate. You know, many lose their lives in the pursuit to protect wild species and habitats. Our funds go towards, you know, protecting all species. It's not widely known. It's not really shared in the media, mainstream media. The effects of poaching, not only on a species, but the land and the community, and the funds go to help combat that. And what I'm saying, the media didn't always understand, is some people say, "Oh, well, it's hunters. Maybe you're killing." I don't like that term, right? harvesting an animal, right? Respecting the animal for the protein in that food source that goes to the communities where they're harvested. The funds and the money that are pumped into those communities when hunters go. They pay tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend time in certain countries. And all that goes to help fund conservation efforts and conservation officers. Some of our grants have been used to purchase drones, right? Not only to serve the hippo population, but we provide equipment such as bulletproof vests, clothing, footwear, Humvees, Land Rovers, ATVs, helicopters that are used in Africa and different countries to help counteract the poaching effort. When I'm saying poacher, it's not someone that's starving in a village somewhere, right, that is trying to feed a family. What folks don't realize is there are criminal syndicates that will send people in with military-grade weapons to poach animals to send back on the black market to other countries. And our funds and some of the grants that we provide help those countries and their wildlife officers combat all of that with the use of the ATVs, the helicopters, the Land Rovers, and the equipment that we give them. We do not provide ammunition and we do not provide weapons, but we provide all the other equipment necessary to combat that, to save a species, to protect species in their wild places. Another example I'd like to share as far as fundraising efforts, right? And we have auctions, right? In the evenings, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're gonna have these great auctions. People will spend significant dollars for experiences. An example would be someone spending, tens of thousands of dollars, $100,000, for a single tranquilizer dart. That goes towards rhino research. Pretty much they're funding the trip, the fuel, the helicopter, the biologists, the government officials, to ride in the helicopter and watch biologists dart the rhino. Right, it sedates it. They have a very short, limited time to get down. The biologists do all of their work, and these hunter conservationists, they're there to fund the project, to witness and to assist and help these biologists taking their blood samples, checking the health of the species, to ensure that it's got a future. Right, so it's things like that that. Our auction winners are doing. There are projects like that the funds that we raise are supporting. And it's important. It's very important. I'd like to share, just on the way to the airport this morning, the Uber driver there in Dallas picked me up, struck a conversation up with him, and he was from West Africa. And I shared with him about what I do as a trade show professional and our show, and as an outdoor enthusiast myself and conservationist. And he said he couldn't believe what he was hearing, because he came from West Africa, from his country, 10 years ago. And he said there were no science-based regulations put in place. And all the species in that area practically wiped out due to all the poaching. There was no regulation. They've moved out. He said, there's no hunting. There's no species there. There's no way to find a protein source, right? So the funding and the grants that we provide and working with local governments and local officials and local communities pump dollars into areas where wildlife conflict mitigation could be put in place. It could be the elephant, right? In some countries, they're overpopulated. Some people refer to them like hogs in Texas. They're everywhere, and they destroy crops and farmlands and villages and homes. And the funds help some of these communities in putting up fences to protect their crops, right? And then where they're overpopulated, there are science-based regulations that are put in place as to how many animals of what age and how you can harvest that animal. And once harvested, you can't import that meat to the U.S., right? They get to enjoy it there. But that meat then feeds communities. That meat, the statistic on it, I can be corrected, but I believe an elephant can feed 300 people for over 3 weeks, right? And in those communities and in those villages, people will walk for miles, for days, knowing that, all right, there is a licensed hunter in the area that is with the local professional hunting guides, escorted by the local officials and the government, that know, okay, this is a specific permanent tag. We're going to go after a specific animal that's beyond breeding age, right? And that herd has to be thinned for the proper resources and food to survive, so others can eat, right? So other disease and starvation doesn't occur in some of the other animals there, right? So you have to thin those herds, right? And it's all science-based practice. So when that happens, the money that's going into those communities is building schools, putting in water wells, putting in solar, putting in wind energy. We have some of our members that have dedicated their lives to the pursuit of, you know, time in the outdoors and conservation and doing some hunting, but also the pursuit of helping those villages also grow, right? Where there was once nothing, there are now schools where hundreds of kids have been able to, get an education, right, and have a life of their own. And when there's a great documentary that's been created by Catherine Simpson that speaks to the impact of hunting in Africa and around the globe. Hunting means business. Hunting means livelihoods in other countries. And the funds that are generated and raised in those communities sustains those communities. Without the hunter, without the proper conservation in place that brings those hunters in, they bring the dollars in that puts food in their mouths, that puts protein on the tables, that keeps communities thriving, that keeps schools open. So these are all things that mainstream media or some folks just won't really share the true story, right? So that's definitely something that a story that needs to be shared more. And Catherine Simpson will be here. A lot of conservationists are going to be here, and they're going to be gathering on our show floor. They're going to be in our evening banquets. They're going to be in our ladies' luncheons, our conservation champions' breakfasts. They all have a common goal and a common mission for conservation. So that's why we're here.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, it may just be my social media feed or whatever, you know, that things will pop up with poachers and, you know, with photos of different things that have happened and people are really upset. But now knowing, you know, that there's an organization fighting that and fighting it well, it sounds like, I mean, you know, it's awesome to hear. So, I mean, for you as a conservationist, does that feel pretty good? I mean, I'm sure it's a huge thing to try and tackle. But, you know, I mean, being able to kind of contribute to helping sustain communities in that way, is that something you personally kind of, you know, get a little fulfillment of?
Oh, out of? Most definitely. You know, on a professional and a personal level, it's like it's the cherry on top of the cake, right? Because you grind out as a professional in the trade show space, right? And all the hard work, all the late hours at night. Anyone in the business understands that. The time away from the family, the sacrifices that we make. But whenever you put, when we have the ability to put this show on and an attendee comes, the money that's generated that goes into those communities makes all the tireless efforts worth it. Knowing that you as an attendee, as an exhibitor, me as a show management, you working with the Georgia Wool Congress Center, we have all played our part in conservation in this podcast here, right? Someone may hear it, they may disagree, and that's okay. Some may hear it and like, man, I want to go and experience that because they're going to learn something here. Just by being an attendee here, paying your $35 fee just to get in, you've already made an impact on conservation, on a species in Africa, here in the United States, and anywhere around the globe. And knowing that we're helping villages, we are helping youth, knowing that folks that really wouldn't have the means at all to live the lifestyles that they do, which definitely are different than what we're accustomed to here, mm-hmm. right? But it has changed the lives for so many, young and old. And they would tell you to keep the hunters coming. Keep the conservationists here.
Very cool and good to hear that, you know, everybody loves doing fulfilling work. And, you know, going back to something that we kind of touched on a little while ago, just, you know, coming here to Atlanta, you know, and being away from Dallas for a little while with the renovation and stuff. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like you just woke up one morning and just said, hey, let's go to Atlanta. You know, I mean, just kind of what, if you could walk me through a little bit of that, just kind of process and what maybe kind of drew you here and what the process has been like so far.
Yeah. So, again, March of 2023, it was like, hey, you know, this is a non-disclosure thing. There's only 7 people to know about it. We need to find a new place because, you know, the demolition of the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center, and we got to find a new place. So the search was on rapidly, and a lot of research, to be honest. This isn't a plug or anything, but been in the industry so long, reading Trade Show Executive Magazine, I went straight to the Trade Show Executive Magazine's top convention centers. I think at that point was like 23 or 2022. You know, not knowing every player in the industry, I knew the resources to use, and it was a great resource. And I immediately started culling through all the convention centers in the cities across America. Exhausted every option we possibly could in the Dallas, in the Texas area, as a totality. We even had private meetings with folks in Dallas and some of the CVBs around Texas trying to stay there. And all the spaces were taken. They didn't have our dates. Due to the demolition, the reconstruction of Kay Bailey and Austin Convention Center, everyone was displaced, right? So all the major spaces were gone. And we need over 700,000. We need like 790,000 square feet of space for us to produce our show. Well, that limits, you know, to what space you can go to, right? And then we also looked at, okay, who is weapons friendly? So firearms, knives, you know, who is hunting friendly, right? Well, the weapons friendly, that knocks out a lot of places, mm-hmm. right? And so as we drilled down, and it came down to a couple of locations and a couple of cities. But ultimately, the GWCC and the staff here was able to look at their calendars and say, hey, look, we think we can slide you in. And we were specific in, look, we wanted to maintain our existing dates, right? That are set so far out. You know, we had we had like 10 years set out, right? And it's like, all right, all that's cut out right now. You know, all those are null and void, you know, and so it's okay, we gotta have so much space and these are our dates. And look, we were at a point where we might have had to postage stamp it some areas or move it every single year to a different part of the country. But the Georgia World Congress Center and the Atlanta CVB worked their magic. They worked with us hand in hand. It was like, all right, hey, we think we can make some shifts. We can make some moves. We can meet all 5 years' dates that you need. So we wouldn't impact other of our industry, our conservation industry competitors and partners that have other shows around the country. We start off the show cycle for the year, and then it rotates around the country to a couple other shows. So we were respectful of those other shows. We kept our dates, and the GWCC team made it happen. The CVB, we worked really well together. You know, a shout out to Monica Coleman, right? Atlanta CVB. And she's amazing, by the way. So we ultimately, you know, we selected the Georgia Wool Congress Center after many site visits under the radar. Knew what we were doing. We made our announcements, but working with the Signia by Hilton was an amazing process. Great negotiations with them, providing a beautiful space, the first hotel built ground up in 40 years in the city of Atlanta. It's a beautiful, beautiful property. I mean, shoot, we're in it right at their 1 year anniversary. And I think after our show, it's like 1 or 2 weeks later is the 1 year anniversary. And the renovation from the Omni Atlanta at Centennial Park is just beautiful and wonderful. So we're running major events at both of those properties as the host hotels. So working with the city of Atlanta, the state, right? Because GWCC is a state-run property. So all that negotiation that took place, it was great working with the state. It was great working with the city. You know, chief here at the Georgia Wool Congress Center, you know, understanding the security parameters and the protocols that are put in place here at the Georgia Wool Congress Center is amazing. Because there are a lot of folks who are like, oh, you know, Atlanta's dangerous. You know, we got tired of hearing that, right? And I can tell you this unequivocally, without a doubt. I've produced trade shows all across this country, from the East Coast to the West Coast and in between. I am thankful, and I would put the Georgia Wool Congress Center, the chief, and y'all security programs in at the very top of all of them. Knowing that you're the Georgia Wool Congress Center, the Centennial Park is flanked on either side by universities, and the security systems are all tied in together, the camera systems and the communications between the different, you know, universities, police forces, the city of Atlanta's police force, the federal police force. There's federal buildings around here, right? Chief here at the Georgia Wool Congress Center is outstanding, and the staff is outstanding, and I know that we are secure. I know that we're protected, and I know that the city of Atlanta and Atlanta CVB, they are engaged in the process in seeing that Atlanta is, you know, the convention, sports, and entertainment center, you know, for the South and Southeast region. There's so much growth in the area. There are so many opportunities that DSC saw as we began to discover Atlanta. With the construction of the Signia property, was it Centennial Yards? Mm-hmm. That's going in the construction. I mean, when we first started touring, we didn't hole a ground in there, right? It's going to be beautiful with all the shops, the remodels, you know, over at the Omni and the CNN building. By the time we leave here, so much is going to change, and our audience gets an opportunity to experience that and grow with Atlanta and the GWCC. I don't think we could have landed in a better location and be able to work with a better team if you had written the perfect story. The GWCC staff, the Atlanta staff, all of our hotels, the host hotels, the Signia and the Omni, have brought their A game, and they have welcomed us, and they've shown us their Southern hospitality, or no, it's the Georgia hospitality. And it shines, and we know, and we've got the commitment, and we feel the love from the GWCC and Atlanta, Governor Kemp, the DNR, the Georgia DNR. We feel the love and the support for the DSC Convention and Sporting Expo being here in Georgia for the next 5 years in Atlanta.
And you get to slide in between, you know, two kind of big football games. College football.
That's nice. Maybe one day I'll partake in one of those games. You know, or our staff will. I'm kidding. It's fun. It's great. It's exciting. You know, and look, there's a lot that goes into that, right? Think about this. Here's one thing that has to be shared for all of our trade show professionals out there, right? And for you. And here's what I want you to hear. And if you get a chance to share with staff, they got to know this. Trade shows will come and go all year long, and it can be cyclical. We know that show management and different shows will produce these great, elaborate, wonderful shows, right? I mean, they could be, you know, 100,000 square feet. They could be over 1 million square feet, right? And we can pat ourselves on the back and we think, oh, man, this is a great show. It's a great show. But it must be said that it is not possible to pull off these amazing shows without the men and the women that pound the pavement in the George Will Congress Center every single day. Show in and show out, on the floor, in the back of house, on the docks. They are the true champions of our shows. And I encourage my staff or our staff at DSC, I encourage any staff I've ever worked with, and I'll continue to encourage our trade show professionals, make sure that you recognize the men and the women that sacrifice day in and day out, pounding the pavement to make our shows a reality. No matter what show we run, if it's a business to consumer, if it's a business to business show, they're ultimately sacrificing a lot for their families as well. And they're helping us look immaculate to our audiences. So thank you. Bravo to you, Austin, for what you do. Thank you to the individual, the banquet captains, and someone's back there washing a dish somewhere, or they're scooping out that ice bin and making sure it's clean and pristine and ready to go for the service for the next event. They've got to know that they're appreciated and that they're respected. And DSC appreciates them. And I want all of our other trade show professionals to also appreciate them. And make sure you say it. Make sure you let them know.
You kind of went through it a second ago, but I mean, just kind of what, looking at it, you know, as things are getting kicked off and stuff like that, what excites you about being here in Atlanta? You know, you mentioned the growth and things that are going on, and y'all are going to be here for a little while. And like you said, you're going to be able to see some of that. And, you know, I mean, it's a complete joke, but maybe y'all won't want to leave. Who knows? but yeah, I mean, just kind of what's exciting about it, you know, and like I said, I know you mentioned that a little while ago, but just some things initially that you say, dang, that's really exciting. I'm glad we're here.
Yeah. Well, you know, while DSC, you know, while the DSC Convention Sporting Expo, you know, will again bring together friends from around the world in support of a common cause, you know, we're also excited to share the DSC story with a new audience. Look, we did our research before we came. Right? We did our work. There are 4.2 million hunting licenses sold in Georgia and the surrounding states, right? So we are excited to introduce the DSC brand to outdoor enthusiasts, hunters, and conservationists that may not have ever known about the Dallas Safari Club or DSC. You know, we're here to introduce like our mission and our vision, right, and our three pillars of conservation, education, and advocacy to them, right, and what DSC stands for, the membership opportunities, and what our members and our exhibitor partners have to offer. That's exciting. We have a great base, and I'll say, look, yes, we are rooted in Dallas, deeply rooted in Dallas, right? We have our roots in Dallas, and we'll always be Dallas, right? But like a tree, our roots grow wide, and our branches grow wide, right? We're across this country and we're a global organization. We've got global reach, right, to help cover that conservation effort. So we're excited to share that here in Atlanta, in Georgia, in this area, as well as around the globe. But it excites us to be able to share our story and introduce the Southeast region of the country to DSC. We'd love for them to join us in Dallas, right? And, you know, we did introduce a summer show in July that will be in Dallas or Grapevine at the Gaylord Texan, right, in July over the next 5 years. We did that because we knew there are some exhibitor partners that weren't going to be able to travel to Atlanta. And we didn't want to alienate that member base, right? So we're providing an opportunity for them. Who knows, you know, what the future may hold, you know? Atlanta is outstanding, and I think that we're going to have outstanding shows here. And one day it could be that, okay, we might be, you know, we might be back in Dallas, but our summer show might be here, right? I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility or of anything. We have experienced great hospitality, and we have a lot of common ideals and aspirations, you know, in conservation with the community in the surrounding states. So we're looking forward. We're looking forward to that. You know, also I would say, you know, with those 4.2 million, it's also discovering, you know, where DSC can also get involved, you know, in the community and help out. You know, we have chapter systems, and, you know, our DSC Georgia chapter is actually having a banquet here on Monday night, kicking things off. You know, and so we have this chapter system that reaches out. So we're excited to help grow that audience as well, and to help the local community here, and to work with the Georgia DNR like we do with the Texas Parks and Wildlife and our Texas Youth Hunt programs. Georgia has similar programs here, and we're excited to share in their mission and their vision and the success for the people of Georgia in the Southeast region.
And just throwing it out there, summers may be a little bit more mild here than in Dallas. Just a thought.
I appreciate it. We'll keep that in mind. Noted.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it sounds really cool because coming into this, I was going to say, you know, for somebody like me who I grew up in the sportsman's paradise of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. That was always, you know, on the license plate growing up. But, you know, I mean, I've never been a hunter. You know, I'd cast a line out every once in a while. I like camping and being in the outdoors. But it sounds like, you know, there's something for people that are really into, you know, hunting, fishing, all of the above, or just the outdoors. But it sounds like, you know, I mean, just a learning experience. I mean, from what it sounded like from whenever we were talking earlier, it could be, I don't know if kids are back in school yet, but a cool field trip, you know, just something like that, something to bring your kids to learn. So that seems really exciting that it touches on a bunch of different aspects.
Yeah, right? You make a great point. I had a university and a school reach out to me from Florida, and they asked, hey, can we get some passes because we want to bring our students up to your show to take a look at it, right? So they've got a conservation program. Like, hey, we really want to be a part of this, and we want to expose our youth to it and our students. So we're like, heck yeah, bring them on, you know, 16 and under, you know, are free admission, you know, to the Dallas Safari Club and the DSC Convention Sporting Expo. Active retired military and active and retired first responders are as well free, right? DSC thanks them all for their service, and that's just a small way for us to show our gratitude and our appreciation for our servicemen and women, that's for sure. But I'll tell you this, you know, as far as you know, what does the show provide, right? I mean, we're a family-friendly show. You know, if you enjoy the outdoors, you know, you'll definitely enjoy the DSC, you know, convention. You know, there's something for everyone. You know, if, you know, like I said, it's family-friendly. If you're into hunting, you're into fishing, like you said, yeah, it's there. If you're into hiking and outdoor, if you're into bird watching, the finest optics on the planet are here. Photography's here. You know, I mentioned before, you could buy anything from a pair of brand new all-weather socks to a helicopter on our show floor and everything in between. You know, if it's for the outdoors, it's for you. You know, and like I said, it's family friendly, open to the public, and it's an eye-opening experience. For a novice, for an individual that's never been into shooting sports or outdoors or hunting or fishing or camping, you can come to the DSC Convention Sporting Expo and see it all. You can learn about it. You can be educated on it. You can start small. There are education sessions and just discovery of, hey, what is conservation? What's it all about? To the professional hunter. Right? Or the professional conservationist, the professional traveler that goes to the most resort locations and resorts and just enjoys relaxing in a different environment. So it's there for everybody. You know, it offers incredible opportunities to explore and learn, you know, more about, like I said, the outdoors, hunting and fishing. You know, exhibitor partners from 41 countries represent the best outfitters of firearm, apparel, manufacturers, artwork, sculptures, paintings, jewelries, furs. I said before, it is one of the most incredible and awe-inspiring trade show floors I've ever been on, and exhibit hall floors. You know, the convention, extraordinarily welcoming. You know, and there is definitely something for everyone, you know, seeking adventure in the outdoors. So, you know, moving the DSC Convention Sporting Expo out of Dallas for the first time in our 43-year history of producing the show, it's always been in Dallas. And coming here to Atlanta, you know, it's great to say, but we have sold more booths on our trade show floor exhibit space than we have in our 43-year history. It's amazing. GWCC provides the space for us to do that and to grow even more. You know, we're expecting, you know, attendance of 30,000. You know, again, the trade show floor, you know, our exhibit hall floor is right at 790,000 square feet with 900 exhibitors from 41 countries around the globe with activations and speaker engagements, meet and greets, education sessions on the show floor, and every exhibitor from around the globe. I can say with confidence, the GWCC facility is primed and ready to go for us. I've watched all of our registrations, and we're trending wonderfully. We have sold out our Thursday night evening banquets. We've sold out our Saturday night evening banquets and only have 20 seats left for our Friday night evening banquet. Our ladies' luncheon is selling wonderfully, and we're really excited to be able to introduce to the Southeast region the ladies' luncheon to the ladies of Georgia and the surrounding states. They're going to love our speaker lineup and just the networking and the engagement of female conservationists. Those that love the outdoors and hunt the outdoors, and those that just enjoy fine jewelry and handbags and clothing, right? And then our Conservation Champions Breakfast is also selling wonderfully, and it's our opportunity to introduce DSC to those that are interested in membership and just to learning more about the Dallas Safari Club. So to say that for the first time in 43 years, we've moved the DSC convention, not just out of the city of Dallas, but halfway across the country, says a lot, you know, and the organization started, you know, with 42 original members, if you can believe that, and has grown from a small gathering to what I'm expecting to be 30,000 in attendance, the largest trade show floor that we've ever had, and a spectacular venue and a spectacular part of the country, and we're looking forward to bringing the brand of DSC to this region.
And the landscape's a little bit different in North Georgia, but I'm sure there's, you know, folks that are into the outdoors, whether it's hunting, fishing, just being, you know, camping, stuff like that. So, I mean, have you kind of found that too with just the different, I mean, people within arm's reach, whether it's Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama?
Yes.
I mean, just folks all over.
Yes. I mean, people have begun, you know, that we'd have contact, we've begun to see things on social media, and emails have been passed around, and they've been reaching out, calling us just from out of the blue. Hey, I have just heard about you, or I've heard about y'all, I've never experienced your event. I'm so glad that y'all are in our part of the country, and you know, we're driving down or we're flying down, and hey, how can I buy a table at your banquets? Or hey, how can I get in? I'm military. Do I get in for free? Yes, you know, active and retired. Come one, come all, bring your family. It's a great time. And the response has been absolutely wonderful. And I know that we're going to bring our level of Southern hospitality with a group that we call our DSC 100. That's our DSC volunteers. And I would say that they're the heart of this convention and sporting expo. I come from really the B2B trade show side, and this is really a B2C show. I'd say 10% B2B, 90% B2C. And been around a lot of, you know, volunteer groups before, you know, in the B2B show, and it hasn't always worked out well. But I am a true believer that the volunteers for the Dallas Safari Club that commit themselves year in and year out to give a week is incredible. We've got volunteers that work in our registration, exhibitor and attendees, the move in and move out crews that are helping push carts in to the show floor, helping to move, because this is a really big POV show. Sure, and we've got a lot of 53-foot trucks, you know, and there's a lot of them stacked out there in the marshaling yard. But it's said by people in the industry and the exhibitors in the industry that they truly feel appreciated and they feel the love from DSC, and they get treated better than any other shows they've been to, because the moment they pull in that marshaling yard, we have a DSC volunteer member that's out there to greet them, right? It's serving hot coffee, it's hot cocoa, it's giving them something hot to eat. How can we help you? Give them the lay of land. Hey, this is how you're going to pull in, right? It's well executed. You know, I got to give a shout out, you know, to our move in and move out crews and our marshaling yard crew and Mr. John Patterson. He runs a tight ship, and our industry knows that. And they know when they come to the DSC Convention Sporting Expo, they're going to be treated like family. They're going to get that Southern hospitality. And now that we're here in Georgia, they're going to get to see that good Georgia hospitality. So I know that audience is really looking forward to this. We invite folks to come and join us, you know. Join us January 9th to the 12th at the Georgia World Congress Center. We're looking forward to seeing everyone.
Awesome. I mean, that's all I got, Chris. I appreciate your time.
Austin,
great conversation.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Going to be a great time at Georgia World Congress Center with Dallas Safari Club here, one of the biggest conservation fundraising events in the country right here in Georgia for the next few years. Again, a huge thank you to Chris Harris for taking a little while to sit down and chat with me. Hopefully we'll see you here, but if not, like Chris mentioned, they have chapters all over and other events you can get involved with. Head over to biggame.org to find out about all things Dallas Safari Club. Again, that's biggame.org, biggame.org. This has been a production of the Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Thanks for hanging out with me. Until next time, we'll see you later.